All right, are we, how are we on time? Yep. 12:32, I believe we can commence. Let me call to order the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for our January 31st meeting. Everyone has hopefully seen our agenda. Item number two is approval of minutes from the December 6th, 2021 meeting.
Move for approval.
Motion to approve and a second, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item three is public comment. If you're here from the public and you would like to make a comment, please come forward. You'll have 2 minutes. Any takers? I want to thank Jordy Yarborough from State Ports Authority, good neighbor, for coming here today. She is not here to deliver a comprehensive analysis of global supply chain issues, but I know y'all are working hard over there, and when y'all work hard, we're all involved, so. Yeah, thanks for being here. She handles government relations, so it's great. Great to see her over here, just building that relationship. Thank you very much. Item number four is the 2023 Charleston County TST and CTC annual project rankings. I think we all have a memo that goes with this.
We do.
Hope everyone got that. So I'll turn it over to staff, and if you'll walk us through this, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, council members. I'm going to have Mr. James Aton, our Transportation Operations Division Chief, go through the memo that you have. This is an annual submission that we do to multiple programs with one prioritization, and he's going to go through the details with you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and members of committee here. Just to give you an update, in addition to that memo, we have a total of 7 projects that we're pursuing through this year's TST and CTC program, broken out into different sort of genres here, intersection improvements being the first one. So US 17 at Mathis Ferry Road and Vinning Road is the first. It's really two projects within this that we're applying for. This is the last two phases of a 4-phase project for improvements there at this intersection, sort of tied to additional capacity as well as the increase in traffic seen by the new Lucy Beckham High School. Phases 1 and 2 were selected last year by the TST and CTC and will go to bid in the late March, early April timeframe. And these are those last two phases here for northbound 17 to extend that left turn lane, and then for the Mathis Ferry Road approach to also extend that dual left turn lane to add a little bit more capacity to the intersection there.
And just for clarity, when we say to expand or extend it, what's it going to look like?
Yeah, so the northbound approach is an extension of the existing left turn lane about 350 feet. So it's just we'll remove a portion of the planted median and extend that left turn lane back, very similarly to the phase two here, Mathis Ferry, same thing. It's a 200-foot extension of the dual left turn lane that will remove a portion of the planted median on that approach up to the Lauda intersection to allow for more capacity on those turning movements, which are the higher turning volume movements, really, besides the through approaches for those two.
So on Mathis Ferry coming, let me make sure I got this right. Phase two, Mathis Ferry Road, left turn lane extensions. So if you're on Mathis Ferry and you're facing 17 and you go across and it becomes Vinning, right? That's going to be extended further back past Lauda.
Yes, sir. So there's an existing sort of teardrop median there right now. It's essentially the removal of that teardrop median to allow for those left turn lanes up to that intersection and even through it if need be. Okay. When those volumes are on its heavier side.
Everybody clear on all?
Yeah, and I have a question. When Indigo was permitted to be built, there was supposed to be some payments for improvements like this is. Have you gone back to look at what they agreed to do as far as the Planning Commission approvals?
My recollection, Mr. Chapman, the improvements that were approved for the impact assessment were the ones on 17 at the site. There were no improvements required of the development at this intersection. It was recognized, the intersection included, was included in the analysis, but it was recognized, I think, that the site improvements only would be required.
Okay, I'm sorry then. Maybe it didn't pass. Because I know we specifically had a lot of discussion about that at the Planning Commission when Indigo applied, given the fact that they were going to increase traffic by almost 33% on Highway 17. So it was my understanding that intersection improvements at 17, Mathis Ferry, and Benning Road were going to be done by Indigo. So I could be wrong. I just wanted to ask that question.
Well, we will certainly double-check that.
Thank you.
You're exactly right. There was a lot of discussion about what the mitigation would be. We certainly don't want to miss an opportunity.
No.
And I will go back and confirm that there was, those were not required.
Thank you.
I think one of those was signalizing that intersection, right?
Well, it was that.
Didn't used to be a signal there, if I remember.
Lauda?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Back to Indigo, yeah.
Yes, sir. That was a new signal.
Yes, sir. Okay. That was part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth looking into.
Thank you.
All right. So then, we've been over those two turn lanes, and I guess we're on Hungry Neck now?
Yes, sir. So moving on to the Hungry Neck Boulevard Corridor Safety Improvement. This is a project that has a whole slew of improvements proposed. The main one spurring from an intersection safety study that staff conducted at the intersection here of Hungry Neck and the two shopping centers, Iron Gate and the old Bilo Shopping Center, and a crash history that was sort of warranted restrictions, proposed restrictions to a three-quarter access, meaning you can turn left into the site and you can turn right into the site, and but leaving, you have to make a right turn. And again, those, the safety study that was attached as part of the memo you received goes into more detail up to the number of those crashes, 42 crashes in a five-year period. In addition to that, the project looks to expand the Mount Pleasant Way along this corridor on the Bilo Town Center shopping side from the intersection up to roughly the parking garage. It looks to also improve sidewalk near the Carolina Walk townhome developments and install a car-to-bus shelter at that existing stop, as well as install a similar mid-block crossing as you're seeing constructed out front here.
So at those two, and we have a picture here in what we were given, I'm not sure what the page reference is. So when you're coming out of Sweetgrass Corner that we all refer to as used to be Bilo, or Iron Gate, which is across the way, when you're coming out from now on, you will only be able to turn right?
Correct.
Okay.
And we've confirmed as part of our 30% design, which is where we're at on these plans right now, that from, you know, the Iron Gate Shopping Center, a U-turn at the signal is able to be made based off of the existing geometry. And then, of course, across the street, there's multiple ingress egress points along both Hungry Neck and signalized locations on 17 that could be utilized in the event someone, you know, wishes to make a left out of there.
All right. Where was the Mount Pleasant Way part? I see down here on number two under pedestrian and bicycle, that's rifle range. Were you just talking about Hungry Neck?
Correct, yeah. So as part of the safety improvements here, there's an existing mid-block unsignalized crossing at this intersection that, due to the proposed improvements to geometry there, would have to be relocated. And so as part of that, we started to kind of domino effect into some other needed pedestrian improvements in the area. And this being one of the spine routes of Mount Pleasant Way, we figured we might as well try to capture that in this project while we were out there doing other work. It's on the north side of this plan here. That would, again, tie into a previously approved CTC project across Isle of Palms to extend that path. So really just piecing those path portions moving further south here.
Mayor, that's shown on the graphic on your screen. I know you're trying to look between a memo and such, but that's what that was on.
Got it, thank you.
So moving on to pedestrian and bicycle improvements, this was broken out into the higher speed and higher volume routes, and then the lower speed, lower volume. So the first on the ranking here is, again, a Mount Pleasant Way segment. It's the Scanlonville Praise House Trail. This was a project that the town pursued this past year for Greenbelt funds and was awarded $128,250 for the right-of-way acquisition. We're in discussions now with an on-call contractor to begin design of this project here. This is in cooperation with the East Cooper Civic Club that owns the parcel here shown in red at Fifth Avenue and the church there. And they're doing pursuing a plan themselves for a parklet there. The second project is Mount Pleasant Way as well. It's the Isle of Palms connector portion on the north side of the IOP connector from Sweetgrass Basket to Rifle Range Road. These will tie into existing facilities along the Isle of Palms connector heading out towards the island, as well as the project I just mentioned there that's funded from CTC at Sweetgrass Basket, and then the existing facilities along that.
Everybody see that?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So this gets that four miles or
it's,
two and
I
half?
Think 4.2 miles once you have the loop along Rifle Range, which is just really the last missing segment, assuming this is funded through that, through TST CTC to the US 17 to Rifle Range Road connector project.
So I see the arrow where the 2021 CTC funded segment is. What we're ranking now or whatever is which, the red?
Correct, yes, okay. Sir. Just the Isle of Palms segment.
Got it.
So moving on to the lower speed, lower volume roadways, we have the Mathis Ferry Road at Von Kolmetz Road, crosswalk and sidewalk improvements. This is sort of in conversations with DOT. Mr. Chapman, I'm sure you're very aware of this project here and the recent improvements that were required by the Spine Institute actually resulted in the removal of an existing crosswalk there at the intersection of Mathis Ferry and Von Kolmetz, and this project looks to go back, reinstall that, as well as make pedestrian improvements really within the condo areas here where the shoulder and the driveway is just a big undelineated area of pavement. So the improvements would be installation of a 10-foot multi-use path along the Mathis Ferry approach. This, again, is a segment of the Mount Pleasant Way, and then delineating a 5-foot concrete sidewalk along the Von Kolmetz approach there. And this is a newer, innovative way that we're looking at and have been in discussions with DOT about using a pigment in concrete in order to make it aware for those drivers turning in that, you know, they're crossing a pedestrian facility instead of just a wide swath of existing asphalt as it stands.
And
now,
in this picture on the right, is that our senior center parking lot right there?
It is, yes, sir.
Okay, and so the school's down here left?
Correct.
And this is coming off Mathis Ferry. I get a lot of messages from residents about the condition of some of this. I guess it's a multi-use path or sidewalk, I'm not sure which, along Mathis Ferry. And I just riding by, some of that is from tree roots, you know, the condition of it. And we're not going to take the trees down.
No, sir, but a very good observation. And I know you get the calls. We've had these discussions with our public services department. They've been in discussion with the DOT on some sort of partnership that we can come in and fix at least those areas where we have the root damage and it's heaved up a little bit. So we are aware of it and trying to get some money out of the department,
okay,
DOT, to do that.
And a lot of that has come from Lucy Beckham connected parents, which is great that people are using the sidewalk to get to school.
Sir.
That's a wonderful thing. But apparently there's some issues with
that. Sir.
Everybody good on this one?
Let me just bring up, Mayor. last week, I received notice from the commission that was looking at our application to remain on the historic roadway program for DOT, and verbally they've agreed that we will remain on there based on the great work that the Transportation Department did on acknowledging and pointing out things we were going to do to maintain that designation. So thank you very much for the work that your department did, Mr. Morrison. And they initially were going to come down and have a visit and take a look at it. But since they realized that it's already on as and designated, they're not going to de-designate it.
Right.
And so we're sort of out of the woods on that.
Okay. And Mr. DeMore has directed both our department and public services to go ahead and start doing some of those corridor management plan techniques and strategies.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Moving on to Project 4. This is the Pitt Street Micromobility Project. This would be what most folks would consider the Pitt Street Bridge area. It would be a redelineation or really a resurfacing of the area, repairing sort of the eroded parking area that's occurred if you've been out there recently, some installation of traffic calming devices, and then the real micromobility project would be to stripe a portion of that roadway for pedestrian activity. It's very similar to what's out there right now as you're heading out towards the bridge on the left side. There's a 4-inch yellow pavement marking that already does this in a way, but this would be sort of a more intense application of that same concept there, as well as, you know, the other pedestrian improvements mentioned, extension of the sidewalk, installation of a raised table crossing, and then of course improving those parking areas. And this is a concept that was really born out of our micromobility investigation, which is in areas of lower volume and lower speed roadways, instead of going and installing more impervious areas, sidewalks and things of that nature, where we have the ability to utilize the existing roadway cross section and sort of reallocate a portion of that to bike and pedestrian instead of going again and expanding sort of our footprint of impervious area.
So this is done in the existing footprint?
Correct. And the bottom graphic here was from the Mount Pleasant Way. That's Seafood Road, but it's generally the same concept. Again, it's not applicable to all roadways, but on a lower volume, lower speed roadway such as this, it makes perfect sense, especially given the nature of the critical area, the marshes and whatnot. We couldn't very easily or possibly at all expand the footprint of that roadway to accommodate a sidewalk, for instance. So a very, very new leading edge sort of application and concept that we've, again, is born out of our micromobility investigation.
Can we pause there if you don't mind for 1 second?
Absolutely.
On that, this is a concept, as James so aptly described, is something you'll be seeing more of, especially you mentioned low volume, returning a portion of the roadway to residents. And instead of, we will continue to build sidewalks when we can, but that's not a solution for everywhere in town. But delineating certain parts of a roadway where it can accommodate, because of the low volumes, low traffic, it can accommodate, you know, individuals walking their dogs or pushing a baby stroller or something like that. So it's something we're going to be bringing to you more of. And the idea is it'll start off as being voluntary for neighborhoods. So we're not going to impose it on them, but they can opt in. And we can help them with this kind of solution.
Okay.
And then the last project for lower speed, lower volume roadways is the Mount Pleasant Academy Safe Routes to School study implementation. This was a study that we cooperated with the Mount Pleasant Academy to look at their campus and surrounding infrastructure and make recommendations on improvement, and included everything from ingress, egress, sort of drop-off, pickup routing. And really this Center Street Tier 1 improvements would be focused around traffic calming measures, installation of a raised table crossing, and an additional sidewalk along the facility there. And then lastly, for local paving, the Elijah Green Road, Mathis Ferry Road at Anna Knapp. This is about, I think it's almost 1,000 or 1,500 foot segment of roadway going into a residential area that has a number of homes in there. And this would be a project really from the CTC standpoint of paving that roadway, a dirt to pave project that's applicable through the CTC program only.
Do they want it paved?
They do.
Yes, and we would ask them to work, start working on a plat for it, so that could be moving forward. So, Mayor, today, all we would ask is if you're amenable, the rankings that we have by the categories, that those would be submitted to both the TST and the CTC. The TST generally gets selected first, and then therefore we kind of know which other projects would be prioritized for the CTC.
Okay. This doesn't affect these rankings in our own internal. This is what we think has a chance of getting funded under these two programs, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Absolutely.
I move for approval.
All right. We have a motion to approve and a second. And just for clarity, that would be what was submitted to us, this list.
Right. The intersection improvements for TCT and CTC.
Mm-hmm. Pedestrian, bicycle, and local paving. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
My only discussion is on the newly constructed sidewalk adjacent to the senior center. I've noticed a couple of pickup trucks and all parked adjacent to the sidewalk with very little room to spare either for the sidewalk and or the road. And so I know there were some no parking signs put up near some of the driveways, but I'd like you to please look at that because I really don't think there's room to park anything there. And maybe we need to extend the no parking sign because there are a couple of very nice oak trees whose roots will tend to be destroyed with that kind of parking there. And I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't maybe somebody at the senior center parked here. But there's pretty good sized parking lot for them to park in. Anyhow, if you take a look at that, please.
Yes, we'll do that.
Yes, sir. All right. Anything else before we vote?
Mayor, I just have.
Shifts.
Well, we can vote first, I guess.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not about the motion. All right. All in favor of the motion to approve these rankings, these projects as they're rated, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Eric, if I could you sort of explain that micro-mobility concept again? So just run that by me one more time. I didn't get that paperwork, yeah. So just...
And of course, this is something that Mr. Morrison and I have been talking about here for some time. So what's happened in our community is we have long-established neighborhoods, excuse me, that were, for the most part, built without sidewalks. And repeatedly over the course of time, we've heard from residents who have been concerned about speed at times, lack of a sidewalk, lack of something.
Yeah.
And what can we do to help? And what we've learned is where we can, we build new sidewalks. We do that all the time. But in order to accommodate, we can't reach every request with a sidewalk.
So they're super expensive, right? Sidewalks?
They really are.
Yeah.
So we've reached a point where what other things can we do to help provide some of this roadway for residents? And what we've learned, because it's happened successfully in other parts of the country and the world, is for roadways meeting certain criteria, meaning low volume type, real low level type
yeah.
stuff, that we can return some of the road to residents. So now you may have, for example, think of like a Shemwood or a Shemwood 2,
yeah.
or well, we could all sit here and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
find some others. Not much traffic. Those with strollers, those with dogs are sent into the middle of the roadway in a competing interest with vehicles at times. There are options through striping. Where
so it's a striping sort of concept.
It's a striping scenario, correct.
Okay.
Where we can return some of that roadway to residents, where they sort of take back some of this area here while still keeping it safe for them.
Wow.
And this is something that's been developed. We understand that it's a fairly unique type situation.
Yeah.
And so we wouldn't be looking to impose in any way or ask you to impose in any way on a neighborhood this type of feature that we, through projects like Pitt Street, perhaps like heading into the Whipple Road Tennis Center, can demonstrate to the public how this could function and what it might look like, with the hope that it could generate enough confidence that there may be some neighborhoods who wish to volunteer
for this type of treatment. And that's where we're headed. But it's tough for me to do it justice in this amount of time. It is something transportation's been working very hard on, and we plan to bring it back to you and say, we'd like to try it.
Interesting. So it would be almost like a, maybe like a mediation. If somebody really wanted a sidewalk, we could go, as long as there was low traffic, would this work in the meanwhile?
Yes.
That's cool. I hadn't seen.
Councilmember Corley, previously this was called traffic calming.
Traffic what?
Traffic calming.
Oh, calming.
Technique.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the word micromobility. It's pretty cool.
Perfect explanation.
Sounds very cutting edge. We have a few minutes left to go over some ongoing things. I want to raise a question. I know we do repaving, and I think in our, or resurfacing or whatever. Was there something in that in our mid-year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I've been to at least one neighborhood, and there's some others where the condition of the pavement of the road is such where you really can't even push a baby stroller. And I don't know if that's deterioration, if that's just normal, you know, people that work in roads and stuff. But do we have a system of rating those, like which ones are worse than others?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir, we do. And it is our pavement management system, and it is a objective graded process. It uses a truck with lasers on it, basically, to give you deformation and all kind of different information. But yes, it is
okay.
It's quite objective. Now, that doesn't mean we have some qualitative input into the process because we can go out and look at things ourselves and see if something needs to be elevated over another. But that's how we handle
it. So it stands to reason, you know, other inconsistencies notwithstanding, that older neighborhoods would probably be experiencing this more than newer neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Yes,
okay. Sir. A lot of it.
Do we have that list somewhere? Could I see that?
It changes every year because it's budget based.
Right.
Yes, sir. We can produce the list based upon the budget. Last year was $1 million. So yes, sir. I'll be happy to provide that.
Great. Other things ongoing. We're in item number five. I just was wondering what, yes, the big capital projects, but also y'all had been doing great work at finding problems with our signaling and where some of the equipment needed replacing and some of the things were not functioning up to par. Just wondering, anything new on that or how things are going?
Yes, sir. Just quickly on that, and then I'll let Paul just answer any questions, you know, if you have any specific projects you want to hear an update on.
Paul, you have to answer all the questions.
It's going to be a grilling. But as a follow-up, Mayor, as you're saying, on the signal system issues we're having, we're getting our first shipment of new detection, and that's the problem we've been having is with detection, and they will go in at our six highest complaint intersections on US 17. I don't have them listed here, but we've talked about them in the past, Hamlin, mm-hmm. Houston Northcutt, several others. So, yes, sir, those are coming in next week, this week. And our signal contractor will be out there as soon as we get our hands on them.
Right.
So, and then we, James has confirmed we had confirmed school timings for the Coleman corridor, meaning during that school ingress and egress, we do have a different timing set in there.
Okay. And what's this about Needle Rush?
This was a follow-up on a memo that we sent last month regarding tactics that we could use for the roundabout, the complaints we get at the roundabout, mm-hmm. of people not yielding. So Public Services has gone out there and cleared some of the vegetation around the signage, and also hopefully by now have installed 48-inch yield signs, which are very large and should, I mean, if you're not aware of that at that point, I don't know what we could do. That's about it as far as the signage and striping, pavement markings, those types of things.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I was thinking about that. I had to go see a friend in Long Point Saturday, and I was wondering about that. Anything else on this? Yes.
Yes, sir. On the signal issue, could we take a look at the intersection of this US 17 and Bowman Road, Service Road, on the west side, where we've got, instead of having straight through and left turn for the northbound approach, if we could maybe switch it to straight and left in the left lane and have the right turn lane, or the right lane is right turn. As you may understand, you've got a few more cars heading toward the two hospitals, but they are maybe three-quarters of the cars in that right lane. And by leaving the right lane open for right turns, I think we could move traffic through that intersection a little better. From a space standpoint, across the intersection, it appears that there is room to do that across from the other left turn lane. So if you could take a look at that and maybe expedite traffic flow through that intersection, I'd really appreciate it.
We'll do that, sir.
All right, Paul.
Okay. Let the computer man get us back to where we need to be.
Let's just cover the high level stuff.
Okay, we'll cover Patriots Point Gateway Project. As you can see here on the map, we have a contractor lined up to begin construction, and we'll have a pre-construction conference on tomorrow, and we'll set a notice to proceed. If you recall, in the past, we've talked about the six-month utility window that is built into the contract. So if you can go to the next slide, Brad. So if we were to issue a notice to proceed for, say, tomorrow, the utility window shown in gray would begin. And then 6 or 7 months later, in the red, the contractor would begin his work. Good news is the utility companies, most of the utility companies have already relocated. So hopefully we can compress that utility window a couple of months and get started with construction in June or July. So we're real excited about that project. So this is the preferred alternative for the Billy Swales project. This is the alignment that came out of the NEPA process that we've talked about for several years. If you could go back to that slide real quick. This is going through very near the park property. On your left would be the 6 Mile Road intersection. On the far right would be the Hamlin Road intersection. We've got the connector road showing up here, and with a couple of neighborhood connectivity points as well. So we had a public hearing on this project last week. We had about 33 folks attend. Four folks made oral comments. We're continuing to receive input until February 9th, and then we will wrap up the NEPA process finally, and hopefully get a FONSI, which is a finding of no significant impact, and then the next step would be design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction.
Would anyone like to do the FONSI joke, or are we just going to buy it now? All right, yeah.
Everybody's passing on that?
Can we just go back one second on that to the showing the, there we go.
Yeah.
So in my eye, what I'm kind of seeing is where this comes, and I'm on the far right. I think that's Lang.
No. Yep. Yes, sir.
So that's Hamlin Road. And you can see where it goes up. Is that to skirt the county, the Hamlin track that the county bought, where it kind of, see where it goes up and then comes back down?
Actually,
the property line, or?
Well, this alignment, the reason it's up as high as it is we impact less wetlands in that location.
Okay.
And so this was based off of a previous alternative that we had developed many years ago. Right. And it's very similar to that.
Okay.
But it was always planned to go in this, pretty much in this location.
And then when you get to the first intersection there, what comes down to the bottom of the picture, is that the road? In which road is that?
That will be the new 17 to Rifle Range Road connector.
Got it. Okay. And then down here is 6 Mile, right?
To the left.
That's,
yes,
6 Mile.
That's 6 Mile.
What type of intersections are those? Just regular?
Those, the two on each end will likely be signalized on opening day. We don't think that the intersection with the connector road will warrant a traffic signal on opening day. It may after a year or so, though.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay.
This is the US 17 to Rifle Range Road Connector project, and we recently received very good bids, and the Bids and Purchase Committee awarded that contract this morning to Banks Construction. We'll meet with Banks in the next few weeks establish a pre-construction meeting and a notice to proceed, and I suspect we'll be under construction by April on that project. So we're really excited about that one, too. And then, finally, the Hobcall Bluff improvements on Long Point Road at Wando Park. Daniel's been working on that project, and we will be going to bid on that project next month with construction starting in April. And that's all we have.
Well, when we're doing that, and since Jordy's here from State Ports Authority, is that going to affect traffic on Long Point Road, especially to or from the port during?
No, sir, not during construction. We have very little work to do on Long Point Road itself.
Right.
It will be mostly on the side streets.
Got it.
And this project will ultimately help with traffic because it will eliminate the split phase from the signal.
Right.
So traffic will be able to move.
And the neighborhood there is up to speed?
Yes, sir.
On what's going on?
Okay, yes, sir.
Good. Any questions on this?
No, sir.
Comments? All right. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Come on, think of some questions. Paul's up there to answer them.
I like the part about split phase because that sure saves time on that. And saving time sure helps the Port Authority trucks as well as the neighborhood.
James has found a new radar unit that we're going to use there just because of the trucks, and I won't get into the details, but it actually can extend the green so we have less red light running. Mm. It's a lot more accurate as far as how that works. It finds the gap where it knows the truck can stop before it gets the yellow.
Great.
So that's another kind of innovative aspect of technology.
I've been inundated with press calls in the last week about the Ravalanche and the ice falling off the Ravenel Bridge. And I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. Whoever it was that said, you know, you can rent that helicopter from Patriots Point for about $150 an hour and blow that ice right off that thing. Whoever did that, if you're out there, please identify yourself. But it's a lot cheaper than a $6 million curling iron or whatever they were thinking. All right. Anything else? I believe that concludes our agenda. If there is nothing else, this committee meeting will stand adjourned.